It's Thursday. We know that because we just heard the fanfare, and it's time for our weekly review of the movies with our in-house movie expert, Matt Olien. Matt, welcome back to Main Street.
Hi, Craig.
Let's take a listen to this clip from Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
It's intense. I can't believe Grandpa's dead.
Death is hard.
Yeah, sometimes I think life is harder.
When I was a teenager, a trickster demon terrorized our entire family and tried to force me to marry him. I believed he was gone forever until you found this in the attic.
Ew. Who's Beetlejuice?
Don't ever say that name.
Beetlejuice.
No, Astrid! I am serious! If you say his name three times, he will appear.
Beetlejuice.
The juice is loose.
I'm gonna make you so happy.
All right, Matt, you've seen the movie. It's showtime! Right?
The juice is loose. He did say that.
I love the first movie. Can't wait to see the second Beetlejuice.
Well, it's, you know, it's tricky to make a sequel 36 years later.
With the same cast members.
With some of the same cast members. So Catherine O'Hara is back. Winona Ryder is back as Lydia Deetz, Catherine O'Hara's stepdaughter. And also Michael Keaton is back as Beetlejuice. So those are the three returning cast members. Gina Davis, Alec Baldwin are not in this movie, but Jenna Ortega is introduced as Lydia's daughter. And Jenna Ortega, of course, is kind of the new it actress of the moment. And she essentially stumbles onto the portal that's going to unleash Beetlejuice in the movie. We don't want to get into too many plot points here, but basically the Deetz family returns to Winter River, to the haunted house, after a family tragedy, to kind of gather there. And Lydia is now, the Winona Ryder character, is now hosting like a ghost supernatural show. She's, you know, this is what she does, right? In the first movie, she, you know, encountered Beetlejuice. She understands that the supernatural exists. So that is her, that's her job now. Along the way, we have a lot of new characters, including several new villains. Monica Bellucci plays Beetlejuice's wife in a former, you know, years ago, 400 years ago in Italy. And we have a lot of nods to Italian horror movies in this film by Tim Burton. Michael Keaton starts speaking in Italian. It feels like we're in an Italian horror movie. I like those parts as well. There are some parts I did not care for as much this time. And I think hard to manage and juggle this many characters, especially three villains. There's really three villains in this movie, and I don't even count Beetlejuice as a villain because he's so engaging and so funny. But basically that's the plot. The Deetzes come back because there's a family tragedy, and eventually Beetlejuice gets loose. There's some amazing scenes in the third act, especially this dance sequence around Richard Harris's MacArthur Park song, which was a big hit in the late 60s. We have a return to Harry Belafonte's Deo song in the movie as well. So I think Burton managed to make his best film in a long time, which is not saying much because he's had some stinkers, but I think he managed to successfully sell nostalgia, but also kind of update things with new characters. I don't think it's as good as the original. There's some weak parts in there. The third act is better than the first act, I think. I thought Winona Ryder overacted a little bit. Some of her facial expressions when she's reacting to things seem forced to me. I'm sure that's what they wanted, but they seemed a little forced, especially compared to the more natural performances of Catherine O'Hara, Jenna Ortega, and of course, Michael Keaton, who's amazing at age 73 as Beetlejuice. $110 million. I could not believe that opening weekend, Craig. For a sequel that's 36 years after, that's an incredible box office haul. The film isn't terribly funny. I mean, it's amusing, and there's great production design, great costumes, but $110 million is crazy. So they marketed it very well, and I think bringing back three of the cast members was a huge thing. If they would have brought back none of the cast members, this wouldn't have happened.
I think I agree with that. The comedic timing, though, shoot, Matt, I thought you would tell me it was a little more funny than I think that you left the movie thinking about. And I'm sad about that because I thought the first Beetlejuice was just full of great comedy at the right time.
It is funny, but it's not laugh out loud funny. I think the stars of the movie are the returning cast members and the incredible production design, costume design. Michael Keaton's funny. He's always funny in this role. But it wasn't like laugh out loud funny, I wouldn't say, but I don't know that it needs to be successful. And let me just say, too, with Tim Burton, I am completely hot and cold on his career. I mean, some people just worship at the altar of Tim Burton, but let's face it, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is a bad movie with a bad performance by Johnny Depp. His Planet of the Apes movie is bad. Mars Attacks, not good. Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows. He's made some really bad movies, so this is kind of a return to form for him, a little bit of the wink, wink, nod, nod, old time funny and having a good time, Tim Burton. And for whatever reason, the movie going public was ready to see this movie.
With Winona Ryder now having a family, a daughter, has it left itself open to Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
Yes. Jenna Ortega is now such a big star that I think this does leave room for a sequel. Tim Burton's not a young man anymore. He's 66 years old. But I would say when you open at $110 million, you've probably got sequel on your mind. So I think that that is coming. It possibly could be coming. One of the villains in this movie, and I don't want to give away too much, really has something to do with the portal, kind of the entry into the portal by the Jenna Ortega character. And it's a little bit of a surprising twist. And I say I did like the surprise twist that sort of unlocks that portal with this unlikely villain that we see.
All right, Matt. So we give it a 1¾ thumbs up. Is that what we do for Beetlejuice?
I think people will enjoy it if this is what they want to go see. I don't think it's a great film by any means. I think the first film is still better. I agree with you, Craig. The first film has a nostalgia to it. Yeah, I liked it enough, I would say. Some of the reviews, most of the reviews are pretty good. Some of the reviews are unnecessarily negative, I think. But I think Burton this is what he does best.
All right, before we wrap things up today, Matt, James Earl Jones passed away.
Yeah, what a loss, what a career. You know, I want to make note when his passing happened, almost all of the headlines were, you know, Darth Vader, Lion King, and we understand that, the voice of Mufasa, the voice of Darth Vader.
So much more.
But his Oscar nomination came for The Great White Hope in 1970 as boxer Jack Johnson, and that he had won a Tony on Broadway playing the first ever, you know, black heavyweight champion. And he probably would have won the Oscar had it not been for George C. Scott and Patton that year, that no one was going to beat him. He got an honorary Oscar later. Love him in Field of Dreams, one of two great supporting performances in that movie, along with Burt Lancaster's kind of farewell performance. So majestic voice, commanding presence, almost universally loved by everyone. So that's a big one.
All right, Matt, let's go to Oscar trivia. It's somewhat James Earl Jones related. You talked about the movie The Great White Hope in 1970. Who else was nominated in that year?
Well, George C. Scott won it for Patton, famously refused the Oscar, one of two men to ever refuse an Oscar. The other was Marlon Brando for The Godfather. They are still listed as the winners, however, in Oscar history. Then James Earl Jones for The Great White Hope in 1970. The other nominees, Ryan O'Neill for Love Story, Melvin Douglas, I Never Sang for My Father, and Jack Nicholson, Five Easy Pieces.
Matt, you have some more movies on the docket. What are you looking forward to?
You know, I think I'm going to go check out Reagan, which is kind of a minor box office hit. I think conservative audiences are going to that, so there's not a lot to see this weekend. So I might just check out Reagan. We've got Megalopolis coming up. The Joker movie, right, with Joaquin Phoenix returning, this time with Lady Gaga. That should be interesting as well. Todd Phillips directs that. Those are some of the ones we have coming up to review.
Matt, I'm looking forward to a movie that you want to review October 17th, I believe, Saturday night. And
yes,
it's going to be about Saturday Night Live, all of the chaos perhaps that happened before the first episode. And I say that because I heard a very interesting interview with Will Ferrell. He just took a cross-country tour with one of the show's writers. There's a lot to that. I think you can see that. It's now been made into a film. But he talked about how he was an outcast when he came on to Saturday Night Live with those original cast members. I think this will be fascinating.
It looks interesting from the trailer. Could have some Oscar legs. We'll see. Yeah.
We've been to the movies with Matt Olean.